Ah, listen to that, the real sound of Christmas. It conjures it all up, the tree, the tinsel, the turkey and the mistletoe.
That could be a song!
So as we approach the end of one year and swiftly move to another, it is the time of gentle contemplation. Family, friends, and even those we don't know are all in our thoughts. It's a time to question. Will next year bring peace across the world? Have our global leaders learnt from their mistakes from this year? Will Brexit bring prosperity and even harmony? And the question the entire world are asking right now, in fact, I heard the Archbishop of Canterbury raise this only on Sunday. Where the hell have you two f***ers been?
Ian Collins wants the word.
And welcome to Wants a Word. It's a special edition, and frankly any edition we do these days is special owing to the irredeemable fact that we haven't made one for about 121 years. In fact, the last time we did one, it was so long ago, Nigel Farage wasn't a c***. So, that's at least 50 years. Hello, Kev.
Sorry, do I know you?
Think so?
You're my dad.
I'm your son.
You've grown up pretty quickly.
This is like an episode of Star Wars.
It is a little bit.
Is there too much swearing in this, by the way, so far? I mean, we should have a profanity-free program, shouldn't we? It is Christmas.
It always was before.
Well, yes. I mean, but I'm just aware we've matured since the last episode.
Well, we've aged about 46 years. I mean, that's
very
true.
Could I should just say, by the way, for accuracy, I'm just thinking of, you know, the Ofcom boys. We are recording this before a general election.
Oh, yeah, true.
So just to cover all of our bases, I think we should. I think I should do this. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I
mean,
you can cut the relevant bits out.
Gotcha.
You know, obviously when it comes to it. So,
well, do I have to?
No. Right. Here we go. Congratulations to Boris Johnson on becoming the Prime Minister. Congratulations to Jeremy Corbyn on becoming the Prime Minister. Congratulations to Joe... No, that's fucking ridiculous, isn't it? There's more chance of shitting in the Queen's handbag. I'm sorry. So where are we going to start then, Kev? We haven't done one, literally haven't done one of these for 2 years. So
I don't think I can remember.
I'm slightly lost in this labyrinthine world of the podcast. You know, we appear on other podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I appear on quite a lot of other podcasts.
Oh, you
actually
do.
But this, I mean, this shenanigans, this rat arse of a production, we haven't done for 24 months, literally.
It's been hard to remember what we used to do, and most importantly, why we used to bother, to be quite honest.
I don't know why we bothered, to be honest.
But I can remember one thing. We used to start every show with questions and feedback via social media.
That's right.
And
I remember
carrier
that phrase.
Pigeon.
Yeah, and carrier pigeon.
Brick through a window.
Should we do
stuff
that?
Like that? I think we should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shall I kick off?
I think you should.
Okay. Marty Funk Warbler emails and says, he really does, says, "Hello, guys. Good to have you back. I think you need to return some of your old features, like the bag of gravel and Where's Mitchell?
Witchell.
Witchell.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Witchell.
Yeah.
Sorry. Where's Mitchell? There was a newsreader called Mitchell, wasn't there?
Was there?
Clarence Mitchell.
How old are you? Is he from...
No, Clarence Mitchell.
The 1920s
Clarence
or something.
Clarence Mitchell was a top-notch journalist.
On the Home Service.
And he left, like a lot of... Clarence Mitchell was, like, a really big BBC journalist. And he went to become the PR guy for the McCanns.
Oh, right.
That guy.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. But interestingly, Lazarus the Bitch also... says, I have fond memories of the Where's Witchell feature. Have you perchance thought of extending this to other newsreader-based alliteration? No, we haven't thought of that, but I think there are other features to be had, or should have been had, with newsreaders past and present. I mean, we lost Peter Sissons this year.
Indeed,
for example.
Yeah.
We're going to come on to people, you know, who we've loved, who are no longer with us. And that would have been a cracking podcast, a cookery podcast, which I think would have just worked a treat. Sizzling sausages with Sissons. We need to do... So it's newsreader-based themes. Sizzling sausages with Sissons would have worked.
Oh, that's good, yeah, I like that.
We could have done a special on serial killers with the Yorkshire Rippon. There's no wildlife podcasts, are there? Here's an idea. A wildlife podcast about the suicidal tendencies of some animals called Leeming's Lemmings. There's loads out there.
There really is.
My Brother Harry Was Never Particularly Funny by Ray Worth. Kind of works. Shenanigans on the Costa del Sol for no other reason than to squeeze in the title, There's a Bruce Loose in Porto Banus. There you go. You see. That's the sort of production values we need. All those are podcasting waiting to happen. So if you're listening at something else, then yes, we've got our eye on you, all right? Kev!
Let's give Mark Goodyear a call. From Dodgepot McDougall's Mirror Universe Twin in Larbert. Why in Larbert? Nice. I don't know. Absolutely amazing. A brand new Wants a Word after all this time. Well, it deserves a little ripple, actually.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I reckon it'll be like the time they did a This Life reunion episode. The original 90s series was amazing. The special, a heap of shit. Anyway, random question.
Yes.
Because we did ask for questions.
We did ask for
feedback,
questions.
And you know, people have been sitting on stuff for nearly 2 years, and then they finally send it through for reasons even I don't understand.
It's like a kind of a once-a-word boil that was waiting to be lanced, and then suddenly on social media it all erupted over the last few days with questions, a frenzy, if you like, of questions.
Oh, it's been an absolute delight.
Yes.
Random question. I'm assuming as both of you had kids, you had sex education in school. Okay.
Yeah.
But what form did it take? Now, this is a Larbert one, so I can identify with this.
Okay.
We were forced to watch a TV show called Living and Growing, full of drawings of dicks and the scariest presenter ever.
Really? Was this a program?
Yeah, so I'm going to play a clip of Living and Growing.
Okay.
Because it's actually quite disturbing, even just to listen to.
Right.
I reckon that the chances are about 1,000,000 to 1 that you like people. We all like people. Not only do we like them, we need them. Before we could even be born, we needed people. We needed a father and a mother. We like some people more than others, and we need some people more than others. But of course, not everybody likes us or feels that he needs us. Anyway, wherever we are, whoever we are, we share our lives with others.
Until I saw that again recently.
Yes.
I'd blocked that show out of my mind. I don't know if it was a Scottish thing, but up in Ballyhoo Secondary School, the teachers would never actually talk to you about sex.
No.
They wouldn't say anything about a penis or a vajayjay or anything like that.
Yeah, they
but what they would
that.
Do is they'd wheel the TV and the video recorder on, and they'd let that run for half an hour, and that's how you learned to do it. I didn't know if you got it in the rest of the country.
Well, no, our teacher just showed us Electric Blue 2, which, and we would have happily defended him at the magistrate's court had we been old enough to attend. It was always a bit ropey. I think there was something about a chicken laying an egg, and they were trying to explain, which is sort of slightly strange to use an animal that lays an egg to describe human reproduction, because it was slightly different for obvious reasons. We don't hatch out of eggs, or, well, some people do, of course.
I did.
Yes. But that was it. I don't really. I just remember Paul Ray in the playground explaining what happened, at what two people do, and said, "Did you know that your dad did this to your mum?" And I was absolutely. I was shocked beyond all levels of shock.
Because Living and Growing, the thing about it was, it didn't. It would show like nice family scenes.
Yeah.
And it would have like a typical family, like a man and a wife and two kids having breakfast or whatever at the dining table in the morning, but. The difference with it was that then when it came to the actual, this is how they did it, there would be like crude coloured in drawings of like willies and things.
Really?
Yes. And then Scary Man would pop up and say the word penis,
right.
Which would disturb you. And it actually made you put
you
off the
word. I think that was just pornography they were showing you.
Crudely drawn porn. Who I think, by the way, are playing the Electric Ballroom in Canada.
They are. Weekend. Cracking band. John Peel, love them. Here's one from Boris Becker's Nan, who says, Dear Ian and Sideshow Kev, what are your views on Brexit? Well, you know, can I just say, I feel sorry for people who voted for Brexit, because they're usually written off as, you know, slightly racist dickheads, and they're not like that at all. Some of them are just cunts. So you have to bear that in mind, that... do you know what I think should happen? It's been so protracted and so ridiculous. I think the United Nations should just come along and say, I'm sorry, none of you can be trusted to run your own country.
Mm.
You can't get it right. You're making catastrophic decisions. Whether you go that way or whether you go that way or whatever way you voted, you can't get it right. So you are now going to become part of France. And we just become French. And Macron is our leader. And there's a good thing about being French, of course, is you get a yellow jacket if you've got the hump that you can just wear and tear up the place if it's a bad day. So there's that. Be good for harmony. We wouldn't have to blame anyone else. We just become French. Somebody should arbitrate, shouldn't they? There should be somebody who can say, this is ridiculous. This has gone on too long. Our supreme mother of all parliaments has just simply conked out. It's run out of steam. And I know that the Prime Minister now is going to be saying, well, we can get it sorted. Get Brexit sorted. What does that actually mean? Get what sorted? Get what sorted?
And remind me, based on what you were saying earlier, did you want to congratulate the new Prime Minister again?
That's a good point, actually, yeah. Just in because this is being recorded before the... Okay, yeah. So, well done on getting it sorted, Boris. Well done on getting it sorted, Jeremy. Well done on getting it sorted, Joe. No, it still sounds utterly freaking ridiculous, doesn't it? This one's from Scratchy, who says, I was watching the latest I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here programme the other night. Would you, Collins, consider dropping into the jungle for a future episode? Well, no is the answer.
And oh, come
not,
on.
Not since I saw Lembit Opik on there essentially eating his own testicles, which wasn't good. I do, however, because I haven't really watched it for a load of years, I do, however, it leads me on to a question about television. I do want a new Netflix show. I don't mean I want a show. I want a recommendation.
Oh, I see.
For a show, yes. Want there to be, because since Breaking Bad, there's a few of those kind of druggy ones.
I recommended Ozark to you.
You did recommend
neglected
Ozark.
Neglected to watch it.
Yeah, haven't yet got into that. Haven't started.
Have you watched The Toys That Made Us? Because this is a show which you could have made.
Yeah, no.
What?
But I'm aware of it.
It's great.
It's a documentary, right?
Yeah, and it's about different toy lines. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What else is good? I'll tell you what I have started watching. The Good Place. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a comedy thing. Easy to watch. Half an hour.
Okay.
Digestible chunks, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's Kristen Bell, who has been sent to The Good Place.
Bale.
As in heaven.
Christian Bale?
No, Kristen Bell.
Bale?
No. Not Christian Bale. Kristen Bell.
Christian Bale.
Whatever. Anyway, so Christian Bale plays this girl who's up in heaven, although she's been sent there wrongly.
Okay.
And it's got Ted Danson in it.
Serious?
It's great.
Ted Danson.
Yeah.
I might have seen that pop up on the internet.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Okay.
If you'd like to subscribe, Netflix.com, I understand, is the place to
I think it is.
To go.
They are new sponsors.
Yeah, they need some. They need the dosh.
They need the dosh. Yeah.
From Connie Thompson from Alabama. Does anyone recall the kids' TV show Rainbow? Well, yes, of course. Yeah, exactly. None of my pals do. I discovered the fact after Googling that Rod, Jane and Freddie were all married to each other.
They weren't.
I think Rod and Jane were married, and I think Freddie and Jane were married.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Who married Zippy?
Bungle.
Zippy died, didn't he, just over a year ago.
Well, Zippy and George were the same voice, right? It was Roy Skelton.
Yeah, Roy Skelton.
He was a Dalek.
Yes, he was a Dalek, yeah. He died, and I can remember a radio presenter who will remain nameless, but is slightly younger than me. The producer said, Zippy's dead. We've got to get somebody on to talk about it. So they got... Who did they get? They got Jeffrey from... Anyway, but he didn't know who Zippy was, so the whole cultural reference was lost. Had no idea. It meant nothing.
Connie continues, does this mean the Creatures of the Night were hitched too? I bet Hansen was your bitch. Well, he was, actually, if we're honest.
He was.
And in many ways, still is.
Still is.
Although, this actually, as we were talking about kids' TV, which we do occasionally, I discovered something.
Go on.
In the last year, which blew my tiny mind. You remember that, I think it was the 80s, Paul Daniels, Whizbit. Do you remember Whizbit?
Whizbit?
Whizbit. It was like a talking wizard hat.
Hey, let me tell you about Whizbit. Now, he comes from the planet of WoW. Once he was a little bit, a little bit of magic in his daddy's eye. Time came to grow a bit. Whizbit grew about 3 feet high.
Is that Daniel's rapping?
Yeah, it's Daniel's rapping on this famous kids' TV theme, right? Here's what I didn't realise. That is actually a song by a blues artist from the 1920s, and this isn't a spoof, called Lead Belly, and it's like an old, like... black folk song
really?
In America. Yeah, listen.
Ha ha, this away, ha ha, that away, ha ha, this away, and then oh, then. When I was a little boy, when I was a little boy, 12 years old, Papa went and left me, haven't went lemon, so I was told. Ha ha, this way, ha ha, that way, ha ha, this way, and then oh then.
Does he say that's magic at the end?
Sadly, no. I thought that was my. You're obviously not of the generation.
Is he? But did they nick it?
I don't know that they nicked
with
it.
With or without permission.
They certainly borrowed it from it, yeah, heavily, or were inspired by it, I think is the way to. But you don't actually remember this at all.
I don't remember Wisbit.
You don't remember it.
How can I not remember that? Was it sort of what was it? Willow the Wisp era?
No, it was like a guy dressed up as a
no era.
Maybe a little later, but a guy dressed up as a big hat would run around and Paul Daniels.
Sounds
go,
ridiculous, I have to say. It sounds hallucinogenic. I mean, we thought the Magic Roundabout had issues with the Class A's. I mean, this appears to be in another territory.
See, I thought
Paul Daniels rapping to a hat.
Well, that's just the theme tune. The rest of the time he's the narrator. But
okay.
Well, honestly, and I thought you would you'd remember that.
No, not at all.
Okay, Boomer.
We had one from Bannicus Angel. It says Charlie Chaplin or Laurel and Hardy. Just quickly.
Laurel and Hardy?
Yeah, I guess so. And this, Calista says, I used to like your Daily Mail comment feature. Can you bring it back? Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
What did we call it?
More bollocks from the mail or something, wasn't it?
Well, this was when we'd look at a story in the Daily Mail, and actually what was interesting to us were the comments that people make about the story. And sometimes it would be a genuine story, but the comments would be just sort of slightly off the scale, and other times it would just be a ridiculous story. And I just had a cursory look when I saw that question at a random story from the Daily Mail. This is the kind of stuff the cats at the Daily Mail have got time to report. Thrifty woman reveals how she got her muddy stair carpet looking like new with a simple trick using a £1 spray and an empty bottle.
No.
So what they've got is a couple of pictures, a before and after picture of the carpet, which I wouldn't allow that to be shown if that was my carpet, because after picture, the carpet still looks f***ed, frankly. So she supposedly used a spray to clean her carpet. Okay, right. That's the story in the Mail. I thought, I wonder what the great British public have to say about this.
Okay.
So I went into the comments section. Josh says, is this f***ing news? Stone the crows. Thank you, Josh. CK Max. Could have saved a heap of time if she just took her shoes off at the front door instead of traipsing in mud and dog shit. I like it. Les says, how did your carpet ever get that dirty in the first place, you filthy cow? Discerning readers.
Wow.
And then, this is the other thing you get with kind of Daily Mail comment, where people go completely off tangent. Mike says, whoever fitted that carpet should be sacked. If you look at the second picture, there's a centimetre gap near the far skirting. I don't think that's really the point of the story, is it? Jem says, wow, a woman cleans carpet using a scrubbing brush and detergent. Stop the press. It is a bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Burden says, this is a woman's house they're talking about here.
Right.
That carpet belongs in a public toilet. Nice. Airbox 22. Hire a carpet cleaner, you skinflint cheap bastard. And SXX says, that carpet is shit. And this one from Mr. Jolly, who says, again, taking the whole story very seriously, simply replacing that worn-out carpet would have been easier and pumped money into your local community.
Ah, right, yeah, there you go. Support your local community.
The kind of time
shop
they got,
small.
They've got a lot of time on their hands over there.
And finally, Esther, from William Hartnell's Quivering Corpse. So Doctor Who is a chick. Bras all over the TARDIS. College, you were in Doctor Who once, by which I mean the show, obviously. Not
thank
that you,
you
shagged John Pertwee.
Thank you for the clarification.
What say you?
And it was Sylvester McCoy, by the way, but carry on.
What say you about La Femme Time Lady? There's another bit to this, but I'll come to it in a second.
Okay. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't really find myself making much of it. This is not meant to be some kind of progressive right-on rant. I genuinely didn't find myself making much of an observation of the gender thing.
Yeah.
Beyond all the kind of preamble where there was lots of debates in the, again, the aforementioned newspaper that said, you know, can we really have a female doctor? This is surely, you know, a doctor with titties? What's going on? It's like, yeah, I didn't honestly look at it, and that didn't seem particularly remarkable to me. What did seem remarkable was the Bradley Walsh is a shit hot actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, very
amazing.
Good, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
You know, good. And so were the kind of supporting cast. I know that it got a lot of criticism. Oh, it's ticking every box of diversity.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so what?
I think that you're also burying the lead here, because You were in Doctor Who.
I was in Doctor Who.
You were in a story called The Curse of Fenric.
Curse of Fenric.
Which is the Seventh Doctor.
Yep.
You're interviewed in Doctor Who magazine this month.
This month is, if you buy Doctor Who magazine, which I know most people do.
It's most listeners to this podcast
when
do.
When you go to Sainsbury's or Tesco or Asda or, you know, Lidl, wherever it happens to be, you pick up your chops and your washing powder and your trusty copy of Doctor Who magazine, you will see there is a... I did an interview in there about the, 25th anniversary or something, 30th anniversary of the Curse of Fenric.
Yeah, amazing. And you've got a documentary coming up on the box set.
And I'm on the Blu-ray.
Amazing.
So I went and did this interview with the Doctor Who people, with Pete McTeague, who's... he was one of the writers on the Jodie Whittaker
episode.
Wrote a really good episode as well.
With an exploding postman robot.
That's the man. Yeah, that's the man. It was great to reminisce and meet the man that made the masks as well.
There are two PSs on this. PS. Also, have you seen the John Pertwee Zanussi video?
Yes.
I don't...
That is off.
Now, the thing about this is, I thought we could play the audio, but no. Not going to do that, because just find the John Pertwee, I think it's called John Pertwee Corporate Video, and don't read any of the comments, but just watch it to the very, very end.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating artifact in and of itself, because it's got Gordon Kaye in it.
Correct.
From the old Zanussi adverts, which I vaguely remember, but I didn't realise he was in it. And the guy from...
Only Fools and Horses.
Only Fools and
Mickey.
Horses. Yeah.
Who was... They're the only three actors, I think, in it.
But John Pertwee plays... They identify him as the Doctor.
Yeah.
And he seems to be some sort of weird space magician. And the end of it is shocking and surprising.
And of the time.
Yes. Just don't watch it with your girlfriend.
What I found interesting was that he was clearly doing something you would never get away with now. And that's using his BBC character to make a shitload of money commercially.
Yeah.
By not actually saying Doctor Who, but just saying, I'm the Doctor. It's a clear corporate video. It was never meant for public consumption as such. In the normal sense. But what you do spot from it is what a darn good actor Pertwee is.
Well,
flogging a washing machine as he is, you just realise this guy was hot.
Even with that last line.
Even with the last line. Watch it to the end.
And the second PS on this, which is completely unrelated, whatever happened to Heinz potato salad? That's a great question.
Potato salad.
Well, you remember Heinz potato salad. It was in a tin. You got vegetable salad.
Yes.
And you got Heinz potato salad in a tin.
Yeah, you
did. Then suddenly delis opened and did like healthy-ish.
Ish.
But you can't get it anymore.
No, you can't.
And I agree with that because it was delicious. And if you kept half of the tin in the fridge overnight and ate it the next day, it tasted even better.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it. We'll make some inquiries down at the Heinz HQ department.
We should start some sort of campaign.
Yeah. Salad cream or mayonnaise?
Ooh, it depends.
It does depend.
Yeah.
Salad cream is very maligned. Chavvy version of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
But actually, I think on balance, it's actually a bit tastier. Probably because it's got loads of sugar in it, but it's tastier.
I made you a sandwich with salad cream once. Do you remember that?
Did you?
Yeah.
But where?
It was in my my London bachelor apartment. Not like that. Yeah. And
was that the place I slept in where there was no bed? I just slept in an empty
room. I think
room,
it was, yeah.
Like I'd been kidnapped.
Well, I was trying to kidnap you.
Like, I was literally me and a radiator. And I think at one point you went, you might want this. And you threw in a towel.
Well, we had...
It was like, this was my cover.
We had a couple of... we had a couple of...
Robberies, by the looks of things.
We'd enjoyed a couple of cocktails before we got back there. And I said, do you want a sandwich? And I said, I'll make you a cheese sandwich. And I took the salad cream and I shook it.
That's right.
The top came off. And there was salad cream all over the kitchen.
And because we were pissed, didn't we laugh for about 7 hours?
I think it was 7 months.
7 months.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Only appropriate that... I think we did this on the last one, but I think you can probably tell from what you're hearing in the background here that we should pay absolutely our respects to those celebrities, big and small, domestic or global, that we have lost in 2019.
Andre, give me some mouldy old corpse music!
Kev!
Yeah, it's, I mean...
Death correspondent.
A lot of people have died this year.
Yeah.
And to go through every single death would take two episodes. And quite frankly, I think we've only got one.
Doing an obituary podcast?
Yeah. I think there are some. There are some obituary podcasts.
We mentioned that at the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah,
about
we should.
Yeah.
Who was it with?
I don't know. I thought of another one, a pyrotechnic one called Fire with Alagaya. They all have to be presented by newsreaders, past or present. Well, think of an obituary.
So,
but every year when we get, loads of people died, we think more people died or more significant people died every year, don't we? And then we have these little runs. There'll be a couple. There was a day this year.
There was.
Where three went on the bounce and it was disturbing. We'll come to that in a second, I'm sure. But is it roughly the same? Does it break down? You know, there's that thing about, how many rock stars died at the age of 26, from Jim Morrison to Amy Winehouse, and actually, statistically, it's not borne out.
Well, I think
die at that age.
The theory goes that more famous people who we have grown up alongside will be dying now because everyone's getting older.
True.
So the actual number of famous people that are dying is increasing, but that's just...
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say natural selection. I don't think that's quite right.
It is.
Folk that we lost this year of interest to Once a Word listeners.
Yes,
if you like.
Far away.
Windsor Davis.
Oh, lovely boy.
That was... Now, the thing is, Windsor hadn't been on the scene for a little while. So it was... I just assumed he was going to live forever, to be honest. Yeah,
I think so, too.
Well, R.I.P. Windsor.
R.I.P. Windsor.
Does his name mean anything to you? Mean Gene Okerlund.
Mean Gene Okerlund doesn't.
He was... If you ever watched professional wrestling in WWF in the 1980s, there was a little bald guy with a moustache.
Oh, I think I read about this.
Holds the microphone for Hulk Hogan and the
Wrestling
Man.
Yeah.
Okay. He did.
Okay.
Andre Previn.
Previn, yeah. Not necessarily in the right order.
Yeah. I mean, an amazing comedic performance.
The best.
I mean, ignoring all of his body of musical work and being one of the world's most successful
conductors.
Couldn't
give a shit about that.
Yeah, all that. What we're talking about is the fact he did a sketch with
Morgan. He was in a 2-minute sketch with Morgan,
which was really funny. Peter Tork of the Monkees.
Yes.
He had a reasonable solo career, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. And he was the one with the... No, not the one with the hat.
The one with...
No, the one with the hat was... The one with the hand.
The Monkees was known as a... program you could where all the actors had no hands. There's something in that, maybe
you should have seen them playing the drums. But the joyous thing about the Monkees is one of them is the heir to the liquid paper fortune, which is like Tippex, and didn't
really
something like that. I think it's the one in the hat who's still alive and not dead.
Mickey Dolenz?
No,
Peter Jones?
No, the other one.
Right, it's the only
Mikey,
one.
Mike Nesmith?
Nesmith, yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Who sang the Going Down to Rio song.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I'm going to get an awful lot of texts about that. Yeah. Jan Michael Vincent. Now, does that ring a bell?
Yes, it does, and I can't think why.
Airwolf.
Airwolf, that's him. Airwolf, okay.
This slightly weird Knight Rider helicopter show.
Yep, remember that.
Which he did a couple of seasons from, and then, because I think he liked to drink. He liked a bit of a drink.
Yeah, that's often the...
And then he...
sad demise once you hit the Terps.
Yeah.
Downward spiral, kids.
Jeremy Hardy.
Yeah.
That was sad.
That was really sad.
He did this thing, though, on his Twitter.
I remember. Go on, tell the story.
Where he was like, he was tweeting people saying, I've not got long. Then he died like 2 days later, and it was like...
But wasn't he tweeting people thinking he was sending a DM?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It was, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're cheering everyone up this Christmas time.
Happy Christmas, everybody. Who's the next death, Kev?
What an amazing feature. Magenta Divine.
That was a bit of a shocker.
Yeah. I hadn't seen her on TV
but
since
that's,
20 years.
It's often the weirdest ones that shock you. So I don't know why Magenta Divine shocks me, but it does a bit.
Luke Perry of Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes, he did, didn't
he? And he was like 53 or something. Yeah. His son is a professional wrestler.
Is he?
Yeah, called Jungle Boy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's your wrestling update. Keith Flint from The Prodigy.
Yep.
Gone. Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca.
Yes, he did.
But he was, he'd been ill for a little while, I think. He was 9 feet tall, legitimately.
Mayhew's gone. Anthony Daniels?
No, he's appearing in the Star Wars film, which is out probably, as you listen to this, right now.
He's probably made more money in the last 5 years than he made in the previous 50.
Yeah. Do you mean, are you talking about the guy who played R2-D2? Kenny Baker, who Anthony Daniels infamously referred to as the dwarf in the can.
Yeah, did they not like each other or something?
I think they had a falling out along the way.
How can you fall out when you play a pair of f***ing robots? I mean, how controversial can it be? How bad can it get? You're both kind of equal billing, really, and nobody can see either of your faces.
No. And one of you doesn't even talk, just beeps.
True.
Ken Kercheval.
Yes.
Now, this is one that I missed when it happened.
Dallas or Dennis?
Yeah, Dallas. Clint Barnes.
That's it, yeah.
Cliff Barnes? Clint Barnes.
Cliff.
Yeah, Cliff Barnes. He gone. Ian Cognito.
Yep.
The stand-up comic.
Yep.
Grumpy Cat. That was the most significant death of the year.
Grumpy Cat.
When a f***ing cat dies.
Who?
You must know what Grumpy Cat is.
No.
It was just this cat that looked grumpy. And it got...
Well, whose cat?
Me, I don't know. Some guy's cat.
Bring me random cat news and cat deaths. Whose cat?
It was
significant. The cat on Coronation Street?
No, the owner.
Garfield? Who the frick is Grumpy Cat?
The owners of Grumpy Cat made millions off this cat that looked a bit grumpy. That's the point.
So Grumpy Cat is a...
dead cat.
A dead cat. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Grumpy.
Doris Day.
Doris Day died, yeah.
Surprise to me. I figured she was already gone. Peggy Lipton, who was married to Quincy Jones.
Okay.
And is Rashida Jones's mother and was in Twin Peaks.
Good work.
She ran the diner in Twin Peaks.
Yep.
Brian Walden.
Brian Walden. Yeah.
Yeah,
Weekend World, former Labour MP, and a, you know, thoroughly decent chat. He was of that era.
Yeah.
He was of the kind of Peter Sissons, kind of decent people.
Yeah.
Who had great intellect and insight and were just nice people.
And kick-ass theme tune as well. Back in the day when they just used to go, hey, what's big in rock? Let's have that as our theme tune.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these days it'd be like having Nickelback do the theme to Panorama.
Correct.
Freddie Starr?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't surprise me.
No. Rutger Hauer?
Yeah.
Who, for kids of a certain generation, the Guinness ads.
Yeah.
Rip Torn.
Rip Torn went.
He had some problems.
He did.
But Larry Sanders Show.
It's fabulous in Larry Sanders.
John McCarrick.
Yeah.
Terence Dix, Doctor Who writer. Didn't write yours.
Do you remember John McCarrick went on TV to say that he wasn't ill and could not have looked more ill?
It's true, yeah.
I mean, it was quite sad in a way. I mean, he looked like he'd been stolen from a mortuary.
Yeah.
And I think he was on like GMB or one of those programs.
It was one of those, yeah.
And they're going, so you're sure you're not ill, John? And he's going, no, I'm absolutely fine.
And then his ear fell off. Terence Dix, Doctor Who writer, we covered. Peter Fonda.
Fonda went.
Actor. Joe Longthorne.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy that was sort of massive for a bit.
Yeah.
And then went by the wayside and never came back.
But was really talented.
Incredibly talented. I mean, like off the scale talented. This guy could do female voices, male voices, big songs, big powerful kind of character. And I think his last gigs were kind of doing holiday camps and stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of light entertainers, Robert Mugabe. No longer with us. Jacques Chirac.
Chirac went.
You know, he went off. The lovely Peter Sissons as well,
yep,
of course. And I've told this story before, but the first time I met him, he taught me how to make a self-watering plant pot and gave me a beer.
Yes, we both knew him a little bit,
yeah,
and still know his kids. And so, yeah, we had a special place for Peter Sissons.
Ginger Baker.
Ginger Baker.
Drumming man.
Yep.
And then we get into more recent territory,
okay,
obviously. Gary Rhodes.
Gary Rhodes. Yeah, that was just...
That was weird, wasn't it? Yeah. And it was all in the same day. Jonathan Miller.
Jonathan Miller, correct.
Dr. Jonathan Miller.
Playwright.
I always remember watching a thing on, I think it was BBC Two, where he broke down a Monty Python sketch, and he broke down the reasons it was funny, which ceased to make it funny. So there you go. Clive James.
Yeah, on the same day.
Yeah, who...
Rhodes, Miller and James all went on the same day.
Clive James said in an interview that he when he was younger, he progressed through life with the speed of a thrown shoe.
That's brilliant.
Which I thought was great. And very recently, Andy Robin. Do you know who Andy Robin is?
Andy Robin?
Mm.
No.
Do you remember Hercules the Bear?
Of course I do, yes.
Right.
The
Andy
Scottish
Robin.
Guy, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Former wrestler.
Yeah.
Again, more wrestling. Andy Robin was his owner slash...
He used to hire the bear outfit for ads, yeah, and films,
yeah,
and probably made a lot of money on it.
Yeah,
he
did.
Trained brown bear, wasn't he? Massive thing.
Well, it escaped in the 80s, if you remember this.
Did it?
There was a big... Yeah, it escaped, and then there was this big, like, the police and people,
right,
with trank guns. And
have somebody's throat out or something.
Hercules died in 2000, and I believe Andy was buried next to Hercules.
Is that right?
That's absolutely true.
I like that.
Well, rest in peace,
big old
everybody.
Grave, isn't it? What's in there? A brown bear and a former wrestler.
Yeah.
That's a fucking quarry. Where did I put the bear at the...
I don't know how much of the bear will be left,
yeah,
in fairness.
I'd like to go and pay my respects with a jar of honey.
Join us next year for another uplifting festive feature where we talk about everyone who's died this year. Oh, I've got a present for you.
Come on, bring it on.
You sure?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, no.
Sideshow Curves.
Brexit.
Shoebox.
It's Sideshow Curves Brexit Shoebox. Your occasional look at the box of politically boring fluff we find stuffed up Boris Johnson's arsehole. Now, if or when whatever decades or century, yep, we actually do or don't leave the EU, the good news is that those nasty, nasty foreigners in Brussels won't be able to stop us from being British anymore. Indeed, a made-up rumour has it that if we stayed in the EU, we'd be forced to change many of our traditional British street names,
yeah,
as some of them might be a bit rude and annoy the French. With that in mind, Mr. C, I present a selection of great British place names. In each question, two of them are real.
Yep.
One is made up.
Okay.
You just have to spot the fake. And none of these are rude at all. And you must take this very seriously.
Okay.
It is not amusing. It is a serious game about politics.
Okay, I'm ready for this. So two are true, one is made up. I've got to guess which one's made up.
That's the one.
And you've got, what, five of these?
Yeah. Okay. As usual. Well done, you remembered it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Number one, spot the made up rude place. Is it A, in Ruislip, Finebush Lane? Is it B, in Worcestershire, Bell End? Or is it C, in Hove, Wobbly Flange?
I'm saying C is made up.
Saying C is made up?
Yeah, strangely.
Yes.
It's the correct answer.
Hey, I'm 1-0 up.
Number two, spot the made up rude place. Is it A, in Dorset, Shitterton? Is it B, in Cardiff, Calatty Quim Corner? Or is it C, in Lincolnshire, Fanny Hands Lane?
B is made up.
You think?
Yes.
It's the correct answer.
Strangely enough.
Number three, spot the made up.
If you live in Fanny Hands Lane, yeah, I wonder what the process of that imparting that is.
You just have to take great care with it, I would imagine. Number three, spot the made up rude place. Is it A, in Cornwall, Cox? Is it B, in Lincolnshire, Bollocks? Or is it C, in Orkney, Twat?
I'm going Bollocks.
Yes.
Bollocks is the correct answer.
I
think what we're saying there is Bollocks.
Yeah.
Number four, spot the made-up rude place. A, in central London, Tits Boulevard. B, in Yorkshire, Butthole Road. Or C, in Cornwall, Brown Willy.
I'm going A is made up.
You're going Tits Boulevard bound,
yes,
are you?
Yes.
That's the correct answer.
Yes.
And finally, Esther, number five. Spot the made-up rude place. Is it A, in Worcestershire, Minge Lane? Is it B, in Gloucestershire, Cumming Court? Or is it C, in Stirlingshire, Upper Splurt Passage?
C is made up.
Yes.
It's 5 out of 5.
Hey, come on. I'm a genie, yeah, in these respects.
And that's your Brexit shoebox. You can follow me on Twitter, if you can be bothered, @sideshow_Kev.
Yeah, that's satire, kids.
Judging from the stir of the crowd, yes, he's arrived. Will!
Now how we do it?
Be like that. You're doing exactly what you did on the last episode, you goose.
Well, you know what he's like. You know what he's like. You know the problems we've had before. I'm just not putting up with this. I can't. Look, being in the same room with him a few months ago, and you remember what happened then.
Yeah,
that was difficult enough.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I'm going to go. I'm going to have a lovely strop in the corner.
Okay.
You let me know when he's finished. All right.
Get off.
Seriously. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Will, I'm so sorry about that.
No, I'm really thankful that you called me,
you
but I'm
be.
Really sad that Kev is still holding
2 years
such
on.
A beef and being a prick from 2 years ago. He needs to calm down. I've tried, Ian, I've tried so many times, like you told me, to get in touch with him,
yep,
to build bridges, to make amends.
Yeah.
I've sent him photos of arcade machines. I've even sent him photos of my daughter. He's a heartless bastard.
I know, he is. But I told you at the very beginning, this is the downside of Tinder. When you first met Kev, it was always going to end like this. You swiped the wrong
way. I still
one.
Love him. need to know. He needs to know. Kev, if you're listening to this, I still love you. I think you're a wonderful man. And even though you didn't do a podcast last Christmas, Ian, I still had the best gadgets for Christmas and the best gadgets of the year waiting. I just wait for these calls from you. I might be doing Sky. I might be doing CNN. I might be doing shows with Eamon Holmes on Channel 5. Yeah. But all I want is once a word to come back.
I know you do. And I understand. Brother, I feel your pain. I think Kev's going to shout through the door. That's all you're going to get from him. So we thought we'd do, Will, just take us through three top gadgets or tech-based things we need this Christmas. Fire away.
Yeah, I still think this Christmas, one of the big ones is the Nintendo Switch. It's been out for a couple of years, the Nintendo handheld, so it's not new or exciting, but it's gone into an incredible year of games, and there's some really good bundles, and they've just released a reduced version. So if you don't want to plug it into your TV and you just want to use it remotely, they do a thing called the Switch Lite now. You can get them for around about 199 quid with a couple of bundled games. And the console's just improved so much in terms of the software coming to it, and you're getting tons of games that were on the mainstream major consoles like the PlayStation a few years back. It's the portable gaming console of choice, and that's definitely one that's huge this year.
Okay, number two.
I am really into right now the first mobile phone with a foldable screen. Now,
ridiculous invention.
You have to be on Ian Collins' money in order to get a mobile phone with a foldable screen, because these start at $2,000. But I've been fortunate enough, thanks to my friends at Samsung, they loaned me one a little while back. Ooh. And I have to say, if you're looking for an Android device, if you're looking for something a bit different that might capture attention, this is definitely the one. My good friend Dale Vince, who I know you know, has been very impressed when I've whipped this thing out and shown it to him.
When you open it up, because obviously you're folding a screen, does it feel unnatural to begin with, that you're folding a screen? Like if you imagine folding your own TV, that would just seem weird.
It does, and you will be folding your own TV in the next couple of years. That is definitely coming. That foldable TV will be here in less time than since the first time we spoke on Once a Word. That's the crazy thing about this. Technology is moving on at such a pace. So these phones aren't cheap. It's an interesting glimpse into the future. The best bit about this foldable phone is the fact that if you used it folded up, it looks like you've got something from 2007. It looks really old school, and nobody gives it a second glance. But then you unfold it, and then people think you're the daddy. That's what I've got to say about that one.
But, well, you say they think you're daddy, but you have an Android device, which, of course, disqualifies you from, you know, I mean, I know shops and places.
So much better
now. Restaurants that won't allow you in if you have such a
device. Oh, Ian, the golden era of the Apple smartphone, the iOS phone, has gone. Over that hill.
You know what I've always said? I've always said about Androids, stick it up your ass.
never changed.
I've never wavered. Can I just ask you, before you come to number one on your list, do you like a bit of Lego as well, Will?
I am partial to a bit of Lego. I've actually got under the tree this year the Michael Keaton 1989 Batmobile that I need to build, a bit of Lego. Nice because it's sort of it's analog, and it's taking a little bit of a stretch away from sitting in front of a computer or a device.
That's what
all
I was thinking. So if I were to purchase the Millennium Falcon, which is 650 quid of Lego, is that a waste of money?
I think your missus would probably kill you, but I'd enjoy it. I'd love that if you had it. And just imagine if that could be destructive if your kids got hold of it and dropped it.
You imagine building it and then somebody dropping it. You'd have them adopted out, wouldn't you? Like,
you
instantly.
Probably would, yeah. Give us social services on the instant.
Give us number one. So Will Guyatt's Christmas. Can we have a drum roll, Andre, please?
Is Andre back? I've been drinking with Andre recently in the Stroud district. He seems to have relocated. Have you got him back with you now up where you are?
He came out of rehab and he's kind of, he's looking good. He's looking good. I'd say he's lost some weight.
That's good.
I mean, when you look at
him.
Has
he still got his dogs?
Oh, he's still got his dogs, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't fight them anymore, though, after the magistrate had a word.
So this one's not necessarily that Christmassy, but I think they're really cool devices, and loads of people are buying them, and they seem to be picking up. And there were some great deals on Black Friday, and I also know bizarrely loads of people getting them for Christmas. This is the Ring smart doorbell from a company called Ring, who are now owned by Amazon. They're an incredible piece of kit, and they're incredibly useful. The number of times now when I've got stuff due to be delivered to my house, or couriers are popping stuff in and I'm not there, the number of times I can now answer a call which comes through to my phone from my doorbell and instruct them where to tuck it away. You and I heard or talked about this years ago on the radio, and we laughed about the concept, but now it's something that everybody can do, and you can do it for about 120 quid. They're actually a really decent present if you want to get a bit of a gadget or a bit of tech from somebody, and they link nicely to cameras and other bits of kit that the company have made available too. So that's from Ring.
I love
it. You get
them
from Amazon.
Yeah, I've not got that make. I've got the other make, but there are others out there, and it's just, I mean, it can, the only thing is, it, like, my phone lights up every time anybody walks past my front door, so it's a fairly copious experience.
Where I live in Guyot Towers, over the last few weeks, I've captured an owl which looked like it was from Harry Potter.
Really?
A squirrel. And I had a badger mooching across my lawn the other day. So, you know, it's nice living out in the... No, I live in a manor now. I've got a mansion out in the countryside. So, yeah, it's nice to have the cameras. Exactly.
Good work. Will, I'm sorry about Kev, but can we book you in for next Christmas?
Do you know what? My Christmas wish is for me and Kev to make peace. I feel bereft without him. I'd really love to have him back in my life.
That, everybody, was Will Guyot. And that is it for this episode. Our thanks to you, the downloader. Very kind. Seriously, both of you. Very kind. Our technical wingman was, as you'd expect, Andre Porsche. The incidental music was provided by Liberace. Coffee supplied, as ever, by Abdul's Coffee Shack. And as ever, it tastes like it's been in the urn since the last episode. And the entire programme was produced by Prince Harry. Thank you, sir. Until the next one in 2031, goodbye.
A Big Things Media production.
Big Things!
The real sound of Christmas. It conjures it all up. The tree, the tinsel, the turkey, and the mistletoe.
That could be a song!
Ah, fuck off.
It could be a song!
It's not even funny. Why can't I say it? Sizzling sausage. We could have done one on serial killers.
Uh-oh. Come on.
With...
You could do it.
It's so freaking juvenile, isn't it?
Quack, quack, oops.